Indeed it does. And we thank you so much for spending part of your day here with us, wherever you may be. We greatly appreciate it. I'm Damian Barling, along with Jason Ross. Did a most hated guy in sports. I thought it would be LeBron. I know LeBron. He did you see the Instagram picture this morning?
Oh, yeah. The King of New York.
That was fantastic.
That was great.
That was so great. But I mentioned the overwhelming response to, is LeBron James the most hated or hateable guy in sports, was no. Tom Brady came up quite a few times. Kevin Durant came up for some reason.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know why.
Well, I do. Yeah. But it's kind of part of the same reason that I think LeBron still falls in the category. If LeBron had stayed in Cleveland his whole career and the decision had never happened, would this even be a conversation? I know he does things that irk people.
Yeah.
But I still feel like people harp back onto the decision. Like, how could he do that? Yeah. The Boys and Girls Club, blah, 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 blah. I feel like that's still what people hang their hat on.
Yeah, if it is, that's way old news.
I mean, you could pick reasons. You could pick passive aggressiveness. You could pick the way it seems like he calls out teammates without calling out teammates. That's the passive aggressiveness. But I wouldn't go back to the decision. That's essentially, I mean, the Players Tribune article was KD's decision.
Yeah.
And it's a funny meme now. Every time someone wins a championship, it's the next chapter, which was the name of the Kevin Durant article, with Kevin Durant wearing the jersey of, you know, the Clemson Tigers, right, or, you know, the Houston Astros or whatever. Jerry Jones' names has come up a couple of times. You mentioned this name and you said it's not fair. A couple of people went away from athletes and named the guy who they actually hate. Lonzo Ball came up a number of times.
Yeah.
But a number of other people text in LeVar as well.
Yeah.
So I feel like
when people say Lonzo, it's LeVar. I mean, I know they mean Lonzo when they say it, but it's because of LeVar.
That's absolutely. Yeah. And that's unfortunate. I don't even think there's anything to hate about Lonzo. You know, what do we even know about Lonzo to go like, oh, man, we don't like that? He's a bad rapper. You hate him because he's a bad rapper. Damn near every athlete is a bad, except Dame Lillard. They're all bad rappers.
Yeah.
They all want to try it. Yeah. They're all bad at it.
When they were here, I went to the press conference. You know, they played, UCLA played round one and two here in Sacramento. And he was one of the post-game guests. And I thought, okay, I'm ready for, you know, this outlandish, brash. And he was very shy, didn't say hardly, honestly, didn't give a good quote at all. I mean, there was nothing there. And I went, all right, well, that's in front of the media, who knows? But even other times you see him, it's his dad. It's all his dad.
Draymond Green's name has come up here. A lot of people text Vontaze Burfict. I don't think Vontaze Burfict is the most hateable in sports. I think you have to really have to know or, like, care about someone to – like, I think he's just dirty. I think there's a difference between being the most hated guy in sports and being, like, the dirtiest player in sports. And Vontaze Burfict is dirty, and I don't question that. Like, I don't disagree with that even a little bit. It feels like the answer is LeVar Ball, but it's really close between – a couple of people text Roger Goodell also. Yeah. It's really close between – LeVar Ball, Draymond Green, and Floyd Mayweather. Those are the three names that came up the most.
Okay.
I'd probably go money over everybody else. I'd go Floyd, and then I'd go Draymond, and then LeVar Ball. If you just ignore LeVar Ball, like, there's like, you don't even have to watch him. Like, he's not on the game.
Right.
And it's only, you know, if you're watching ESPN, if you're watching your highlights on your phone, on Bleacher Report, or on Twitter, or CBS, whatever,
you don't see him.
You're not seeing LeVar Ball.
Yeah.
But if you're watching SportsCenter, you're probably going to see him. And he's going to make sure that you see him. So I would go Jerry Jones, most hated man in sports. Boy, he's on his way.
Mm-hmm.
If he's not there already, he's definitely on his way. But I'd go Floyd. I'd go Floyd first. Who's the most likable athlete? That's a little bit more. You're a more positive guy. That's a little bit, and I skew to the more confrontational. So the most hated category would be something I'd thrive in. Most likable, who is the Jay Ross of all of sports?
Well, see, I think that's where, can you get universal in anything, right? Because to me, I think Steph Curry is very likable, but there'll be some people.
You're not going to get that.
Exactly. I mean, but
you're not going to get that.
That's interesting. I'd have to.
It's a lot easier to think of guys that are hated.
Yeah, who bother you and get it. Yeah.
J.J. Watt?
He's likable. Yeah. Very likable.
Doesn't overwhelm you, though.
That's a good one, but I don't know. I'm keep thinking on this one. But
I'm trying to think of an athlete that you can not like. You can't pick them apart. Like,
well, is there one that exists like that?
Okay, who can you pick apart the least?
There was probably one, and then he got into a car accident in Florida. No one was thinking of Tiger Woods as just a creep.
Oh, Tiger Woods, like 10 years ago or whatever it was. Yeah, okay.
Durant was pretty clean there until people are bothered by him jumping to the war. But he had.
Yeah.
I mean, did a lot for his community, was likable, didn't really say offensive things, played, he was a stud.
Russell Wilson. What about Russ?
Doesn't bother me any.
Here it is. I think this is it right here. This is a good one. A couple of people are you texting Aaron Judge? We're getting a bunch of Aaron Judges here.
That's a good one.
I think this is the answer, and when I say it, everybody's gonna agree with it. Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah, that's fine. That's good. Yeah.
No, you're just like, oh, that's
fine.
You
want me to say Alex Smith?
What's up, Jason?
Hey, what's up, guys? Touch base real quick on the previous caller talking about the minutes. If you look at any player, and these young players, they all need to be mentored. You know, the difference, these players that are coming out, like on the Kings, they've always been like the number one player on their team, always. High school, junior high, you know, college. And on the Kings or pros, they're not. So they need to learn how to win. They need to learn the philosophy. So to have the best way to do that is to have them playing on the court with the other players.
Jason, are you on the elliptical or something?
Yeah. I'm actually at my church gym right now.
Attaboy.
Good for you.
There you go.
Hitting the weights.
There you go.
Nicely done.
Love it.
But that's it's super important, and I think that's what Dave's doing is he's letting some of the young kids. And the only players you really can't do that with is center because there's just one center.
Yeah.
I think kind of, but, and I'll give you an example in football, in a different sport. Like, there's only one LeBron James, you know, that just comes out of high school and can play immediately. And I can tell you in football, there's Juju Schuster with the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the kid's 19. That just doesn't happen, you know, to come out of high school and play at the pro level. But I would say likable persons. I'm a Steelers fan, so I'd say probably Harrison. You know, he's what, 40 years old, still playing linebacker.
Yeah.
He scares me.
Yeah, I was going to say nothing about
him.
Yeah, I thought you were going to go Juju Smith-Schuster right there. I thought, yeah, I could see that.
Likeable?
Yeah,
I would say likable. Yeah, as a Steelers fan, I think Tom Brady. I mean, you can't hate on the guy. I mean,
oh no, you can. Judging by this, you can hate on him.
I played football in college. I mean, and I was a punter, so I know very distinctly with the ball, and you could tell the difference in the air pressure, but it's not, I just don't see that. That's much of a difference. It's not, it's really negligible, especially if it's cold.
Really, Jason,
it's hard to tell.
We appreciate you, my brother. Have a great rest of your workout. Thanks for calling, man. We really appreciate that. And listen to us while you're working out. I don't even hate Tom Brady. Like, I'm not one of those guys that hates on him. Like, Scott. What do you think, buddy?
Scott?
Hello?
What's up?
Hey, guys. Sorry about that.
All good, man. What's going on?
Okay, so I got two for you. One of them is from kind of days gone by. Maybe a lot of people don't remember this player, but Allen Houston, I think, was probably the most likable. Like, kind of quiet, kept himself real professional. The kind of guy I could get behind.
Okay.
But the real most likable is Aaron Judge, and let me tell you why. Has a rookie really ever been through as much of a roller coaster as Aaron Judge did over the past season and 2 months? Between the horrific start to his career, catching fire, getting the judges' chambers, getting all the MVP talk, and then going about 6 weeks where he couldn't hit anything, only to come back and perform in the playoffs, like kept his composure, kept his cool, set the strikeout record, but never lost his temper. I think that's your guy for most likable player in sports, right?
Okay, Scott. That's good stuff right there, man. We appreciate it. Thank you, my man.
Like, I felt like Jeter was like that, too, but not everybody liked the Yankees, and so then you just hated Jeter.
Well, before you move on to the Yankees, I think it's hard to put anyone with the Yankees on that list because they're the Yankees.
Right.
Rookie of the Year, unanimous Rookie of the Year yesterday.
Judge?
Aaron Judge.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, good segue
all
there,
rise.
Too. Oh, yes, Jason, thank you. Peyton Manning, he's retired. That's come up on here. Jason Witten, how could you not like Jason Witten? That's come up a lot. A lot of Raider fans have texted in. Derek Carr.
How about Giannis?
No one can spell it, so I don't think anyone is going to attempt it. Text him, Greek Freak, maybe.
Yeah.
Isaiah Thomas and Eric Berry. Those are a couple of names. The ones that really caught my attention that I thought were good. I don't know that Tim Duncan is likable. I just don't think he's hateable. Like, Tim Duncan is kind of just there. Is Kawhi likable, or is he in the San Antonio Spurs category of just there?
Yeah, what's his personality? Who is he? What is
the biggest personality the Spurs have ever had, or at least in recent memory, is Greg Popovich.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there's nothing to dislike to me about – I like Kawhi, but, yeah, he kind of falls into that Duncan, like, yeah, I don't hate him, so I guess I like him.
And then I'm wondering if this guy falls into that category as well, Mike Trout.
Yeah, I would say so.
Mike Trout is he likable, or we just don't really know him?
I feel like he's likable, and he's not – like, Bryce Harper, I think, can people either love him or hate him.
And that's who you compare him to, right? Like, that those two are so closely linked that you have this – they're so polar opposite. There's like, okay, well, he's not Bryce Harper, so we're going to like this guy.
How about Altuve?
And that's another one that has come up here. Quite a most likable athlete. I actually love this one, Marquette King. That's a good one. Dirk has popped up here quite a bit. So there's a lot less consensus when it comes to likable athletes as it is hateable athletes. Carolina won big last night against the allegedly unretired Jay Cutler and the Miami Dolphins. Let's talk a little bit about the Panthers. In fact, Jay Ross, let's talk a little bit about the NFC. I'll lead us off.
Okay.
NFC North, the Vikings. Feels like Case Keenum is auditioning for his job each week. One, he shouldn't be. Two, he's not. He could be auditioning for a starting job next year. By the time this game is over on Sunday, he probably will have thrown the same or more amount of touchdowns in 9 games with the Minnesota Vikings than he did in 16 with the Rams. I was very hard on Case Keenum when he was brought in to be a third-string quarterback or whatever he was. I thought it was ridiculous that he was going to start and all of this. And then it dawned on me yesterday, forgot one key component to the last time we saw Case Keenum. He was playing for Jeff Fisher.
That'll do it to anybody.
Credit the Vikings. I mean, 4 of the 8 games, credit the Vikings line. 4 of the 8 games that Keenum has started, he hasn't been sacked. So he's gotten a lot of protection out there. Case Keenum, he's a good quarterback. He's a good NFL quarterback. I don't know what his future is with the Minnesota Vikings. I don't know what his future is for the rest of the year, but he's done a pretty damn good job. The New Orleans Saints, some would say your New Orleans Saints, Jay Ross. The Saints rank 8th in total defense and are in a 3-way tie for 5th in scoring defense. Last year, they were 27th and 31st in those two categories. 2 years ago, the New Orleans defense set a record for the most passing touchdowns allowed in a season. 45. That Saints defense just 2 years ago gave up 45 passing touchdowns. This past Sunday, the Bills gained 57 yards on their first drive and converted a field goal. And then the Saints scored 47 unanswered points. Other than Buffalo's 2 scoring drives, including that garbage time drive with their backup quarterback, the Bills gained a total, remember, 57 yards on the first drive. Gained a total of 66 yards for the rest of the game. Over the 7-game win streak, the Saints have rushed for 1,139 yards and 14 touchdowns. They were projected to win 7 games on the season. They've won 7 games in a row. My one small thought on the Saints is that this is one perfectly balanced football team right now. The Detroit Lions. They're one of 2 teams that beat the Minnesota Vikings, and that's important for division purposes. But listen to who they've lost to. They have those 3 straight losses. They lost to the Panthers, who now have 7 wins. They lost to the Saints, who also have 7 wins. And they lost to the Steelers. All 3 of those teams are leading their division. Now they have 6 games left. They have Minnesota on Thanksgiving. And the other five games, the other five teams, are all currently under 500. So they have a very favorable schedule moving forward. The Bears, the Chicago Bears. One small thought. Your first down production is a big, big problem. The Bears ran six first down plays on the possessions that ended in a punt. The amount of yards that they gained on those first down possessions, minus eight. How does that even happen? And obviously, when you lose yards on first down, that makes it extremely difficult to convert third down. They were just 4 of 14, 28.6% success rate on on third down. That is 10% below the league average. You take the Bears out of that, that might be the most competitive division in the mm-hmm. NFC. That might be the most competitive division in all of football, yeah. That NFC North.
Can I give you one small thought on that?
Okay.
How'd you get the Saints in there?
I don't know how I did that.
I was like, wait, I have the Saints.
I have no idea.
So I think
how
we missed Detroit.
Nope, I got Detroit.
Green Bay?
I just decided I didn't want to talk about Green Bay this week.
Which is probably fine.
You know, I can tell you why the Saints are in here.
Why?
I was reading that article that had that defensive stat in it.
Oh, yeah.
And I just thought, that's a good stat for one small thought. Screw what Jason wants to do. I'm just going to move the Saints to the new NFC North.
Yeah.
So
maybe running away with that.
Screw whatever you said, and screw the Green Bay Packers, as a matter of fact, and screw this whole segment. In fact, let's just go home.
No.
Let's just be done.
No.
Where's Matt George? Does he want to do radio?
We can find him.
I'm sure we could.
Does he want to do radio?
Sorry. Do you have one small thought on the Saints, too?
I do. And
is
that
it
whole
a defensive?
Actually, it's offensive.
Okay.
It's offensive.
All of this is extremely offensive.
All right, I'll go to the NFC South.
I'm the worst at this.
No, Atlanta Falcons, my one small thought
on the
Falcons.
I'm going to be called into an office during the commercial break.
The playoff hopes for the Falcons are still alive, but how much of a chance do they really have at this point? They got a good win over Dallas, but they now trail still seven teams in the crowded NFC. There is some concern this week about running back Devontae Freeman on his health as they go against Seattle, but they're getting to a point where they almost have to win out. And I don't know if Atlanta is capable of that. Carolina Panthers, my one small thought on them. Did we see the best version of them last night? They were really good. Cam was great. 4 touchdowns and total control of his game. And this team is now 7-3. They get ready for a bye week. They should be considered certainly a threat in the NFC, even though if I'm not fully on board. But they did look good last night and really having no trouble at all with Miami. One small thought for the New Orleans Saints. Running the ball is now apparently in their DNA. Saints, after 2 weeks, were 0-2. Since then, they have run the ball more than all but two teams. They have more rushing yards than all but one team. And they have the most rushing touchdowns in the NFL in that span. So they need to keep winning because I think this team, in the postseason, if they get there, the home field means more to them than just about anybody. So that's a difference maker for the Saints. They need to keep winning to see if they can end up as a home field advantage as much as possible in the NFC.
Two small thoughts on the Saints there.
And then the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, one small thought, too little, too late. That was a character win, I guess, because they were down several people. No quarterback, Mike Evans out, you know, a few guys were out. But too little, too late. Lots of people were out. They did respond well. Nice win. But they did keep a perfect division for the week. Everybody in the division won. But, again, too little, too late for Tampa Bay.
Well, that's a good segue, Jason. I think Eagles, Giants, Cowboys, Washington, right? Those are the four teams in the East. Okay, let's go to the NFC East so I don't make myself look like an ass again. At least not in this aspect. The Philadelphia Eagles, since you've last played, the Giants have become a bigger punchline than they were before. The Cowboys have lost Ezekiel Elliott, Sean Lee, and Tyron Smith. And the Seahawks lost Richard Sherman. All of that combined with the fact that your division got their butt kicked this week. You didn't play a single player. You didn't take a single snap. You didn't do a single thing this weekend but sit on your couch and chill. And you had a fantastic weekend. You can essentially lock up the NFC East if you're the Philadelphia Eagles or a Philadelphia Eagles fan. Not only can you lock up the NFC East with the Sunday night game that you can get here on Sports 1140, figuratively, you can probably eliminate the Dallas Cowboys as well from the playoffs. Tyron Smith, not expected to practice, doubtful to play. There's no reason to believe Philly doesn't keep rolling. The Falcons who you just mentioned there a minute ago. They kind of set the blueprint for what to do against the Dallas Cowboys, why Tyron Smith is out, and that is attack that weak side of the line. And with that, we'll go to the Dallas Cowboys. You lost your heart and soul on defense in Sean Lee. You lost the heart and soul of your offensive line. You lost 51% of your offense when you lost Ezekiel Elliott for probably the next six games. Now, Adrian Claiborne got a ton of attention coming out of that game from Atlanta because of the six sacks and him pretty much single-handedly shutting down Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys passing attack. Which brings me to my one small thought. Don't abandon the game plan. Give the ball to Alfred Morris. He touched the ball 11 times, gained 53 yards. Here's an interesting number I got from Pro Football Focus. 11 carries for Alfred Morris, 53 yards. 49 of those 53 yards came after contact. He invites the physicality that is football. He invites the physicality of being a running back. But they, you know, you noted this yesterday, Jason. They were never terribly behind. They were behind, but not like, oh, man, we got to score like three times really quick. We got to just throw the ball down the field. They wound up throwing the ball. They wound up throwing the ball 10 more times than they ran it. But Dak Prescott wound up dropping back 18 more times than they handed the ball off. Stick with the plan. Pretend Alfred Morris is Ezekiel Elliott until he proves he can't. If you double up on those carries, you're telling me he's not hitting at least close to 100 yards? You're probably winning that game. Washington, this is big. Don't waste your opportunities. Washington's offense, it didn't cost them the game Sunday, but they didn't help. Their offense had a number of misplays, including a stall drive at the 10, a stall drive at the 3. Both of those resulted in field goals, and they went for it on a 4th and 6 on the Minnesota 35. Washington could have won that game. But they just kept blowing opportunity after opportunity on the offensive end. One small thought on the Giants.
Only one?
That's it.
Yeah.
I tried.
That was a McAdoo.
Let me find a stat. There's something. There's nothing. There's literally nothing. And then with that statement that came out from ownership yesterday that we read about how, we're going to judge McAdoo at the end of the year. Good luck getting through these last seven games. We'll wrap up with the rest of the NFC next here on the Lowdown. Thanks to the text line for being kind about my Saints gaffe. I was certainly expecting it to be ugly. Actually got a text here that says, hey, don't worry about it. I'm a Lions fan. We keep ignoring the Packers, too.
Ooh, nice.
We got one small thought,
yeah.
And it's on the West?
NFC West.
All right.
Ready for it?
I'm ready.
All right. Arizona Cardinals. I had to come up with something here.
Yeah. You could have just left it blank.
I probably could have, but here's the thing. I get the one small thought on them. 82.3. That's the only number worth watching that's left for the Cardinals. And that number is what Adrian Peterson needs to average over the final games of the season to get another 1,000 yards.
Oh, okay.
What else? Oof. Gabbert might be playing this week. Well, David Johnson got his cast off.
That's what I was about to say. Does that Woo-hoo. Mean he's going to play?
I don't know.
Blaine Gabbert might be playing?
Mm-hmm.
Drew Stanton's hurt?
Mm-hmm.
Yay.
They worked out Barkley. They have that other guy from Arizona State, Mike Bercovici.
What?
Yep. Exactly. Yeah. I picked him up.
Well, you want a guy who's played football recently. You certainly don't want.
Yeah, you couldn't have that. Barkley, yeah, he's got a lot of reps. Anyway, let's move on from Arizona.
It's like they're trolling us.
I know.
It's like
I think they
guys
are.
Can't be
whole
serious.
League is.
You're working out Matt freaking Barkley. All right, yeah. Man. Cool. Get her done, guys.
Los Angeles Rams. My
can't
one small
collusion.
Thought.
my Sorry,
one,
what?
My one small thought on the Rams. From worst to first, we've seen that before, but we haven't seen teams do it worst offense to the best offense. We've seen teams come from the bottom of the division to the top, but that's what the Rams are trying to do in one season. They're tracking that right now. The other time that happened was the 1965 49ers had the worst offense and then had the league's best offense. Also be on the lookout for the Rams next couple of weeks. What a test for them as they're at Minnesota. That's a great game this week. And then they're home for the Saints. So two teams they're kind of fighting for best record overall in the NFC. Rams have been a great story, a fun team, good offense. Let's see what they do over the next couple of weeks. Seattle, what impact will Sherman's injury have on the team? This team has responded with pretty significant injuries to their defense in the past, but feels like Richard Sherman, this feels a little bit different. And you could tell the reaction when he got hurt that the team was really crushed by that. So it seems to be weird right now this to even say this, but they got to just try to stay close to the Rams.
Yeah.
And they still play them one more time. They did beat the Rams already, so they just can't let them get too far ahead. But I don't know. The defense keeps taking hits, and we'll see what this does to them. And then the last one, of course.
I still think, Jason, they're in a prime position before you get to the San Francisco 49ers for that playoff spot, because when you look at, like, who's really else is competing with mm-hmm. them for that, let's, for argument's sake, call it the last playoff spot.
Right.
It was Dallas. And I just don't believe that Dallas
is. No, you're writing them off. I'm not.
I am.
Yeah.
I'm writing them completely off because and that has less to do with what I think about Dallas and more to do with what I think about Philly. They have two games against Philadelphia, mm-hmm. and I think they, being the Philadelphia Eagles, are going to blow them up on Sunday. What happens in that last game, it could depend. Philadelphia could be, 14-1 heading into that game and have home field advantage locked up and feel like, hey, let's sit a couple of guys here this game. But Richard Sherman is really, really valuable. Mm-hmm. All members of that defense are very valuable. But I think they know how to pick up the slack for each other and still be a serviceable defense.
Yeah.
Or better than serviceable. But man, if you still got Russell Wilson back there making the kind of plays that he makes, particularly the kind of plays that he's made in the fourth quarter, I'm still pretty comfortable with where they are. We might find out if Matt Ryan goes out there and lights up the Seattle defense, which is something he hasn't done at all this year, then that could be cause for concern for Seattle moving forward, because Atlanta hasn't been strong this year.
Not at all. It was a good win for them, though, this week. And then the last one, the 49ers, I just say one small thought. Rejoice. Enjoy. You had a great week, a fun week. You won. Doesn't even matter how the Giants are and how dysfunctional they were when you played them. You won. You outplayed them. You deserve to win. Enjoy it. And you have a bye. Now it's time to go to work. Get ready, Jimmy G. Garoppolo, it's his time. I mean, you traded for him for a reason. Let's see him at the back half of the season. Just see what he can do. He hasn't started that many games in his career. You did it. It's a bold move to get him. It's time to get him ready. You had an extra week to simplify, even if this offense is that difficult. You put a rookie in there. He's running it. I think Jimmy Garoppolo can handle it. Let's get him ready.
I want to mention something about the Saints. Not just the fact that I've moved them to the NFC North, but Drew Brees was doing his weekly radio show and noted, I feel like we've got a great opportunity ahead of us, and I don't plan on leaving New Orleans. Ever. Hopefully, I know all of that stuff takes care of itself when it's supposed to. I have not approached them about any contract. We just have an understanding here. Listen, we're going to go through this season. We'll revisit it in the off season. For right now, I'm in the moment. We had Drew Brees, at least, if nothing else, we had him done with the Saints.
Yep.
We had Sean Payton done with the Saints. One or both. Odds one or both of them come back.
Odds are strong, I think, for one or both. Certainly, like 90%.
For both?
One or both, yeah.
I feel like Drew Brees doesn't want to play without Sean Payton, though, at this point. Would you, if you're 7-2, you can't get rid of the coach,
right.
though. If you're 1-9 or whatever, you can get rid of your coach or whatever the Giants are. But you can't get rid of Drew Brees just because you can't get rid of Sean Payton just because you're tired of him or whatever the stuff that was floating around last offseason was.
Yeah. And, think about where they are. I mean, they're 7-2, right? That's their, mm-hmm.
Even seven straight wins.
3-4 finish. Which is not what they want. That's 10-6. You're in the postseason, and I don't think you're changing your coach. I wouldn't.
We actually ran in. We expected this could be an issue for Jay Cutler before he allegedly came out of retirement to be a quarterback. I say allegedly because I haven't seen anything that actually credits the fact he's a quarterback in the NFL. And Tony Romo. It's actually coming to fruition this weekend. Greg Olsen. The Panthers tight end, who's injured this year, he's going to be on the call for the Vikings-Rams game that we spent a couple of minutes talking about on Fox. And the Vikings I don't know how comfortable with this we are. And then Mike Florio had noted that the Rams had similar concerns. They just hadn't taken them to Fox yet. Vikings took their concerns about Greg Olsen having access before the game to what the Panthers' game plan is, what the Vikings' game plan is. And to Fox's credit, they issued this statement. They said, "We're really excited for the opportunity to make this Sunday's broadcast fun and insightful with Pro Bowler Greg Olsen. We fully respect the Vikings' concern and will limit the amount of pregame access allowed to Greg." I was wondering if that would be an issue for the other two guys that we mentioned a few minutes ago, Jay Cutler and Tony Romo. Those guys say, obviously, Jay Cutler said he was done. He wasn't. It appears Tony Romo actually is. Greg Olsen isn't. He just looks like he's looking to do something here during his time away from the Panthers while he's healing.
Yeah, because there was some talk that he might be coming back soon.
Mm-hmm.
But that's weird to be in the booth.
It is a little bit weird.
And we already know coaches are paranoid, so organizations would be the same role. Like, no, we don't want them that close to our information.
Especially in the NFL.
Yeah.
Like, in the NFL, I feel like you're like everything is like Fort Knox.
Mm-hmm.
And But I wonder if Tony Romo sets, like, a new trend.
In what way? What do you mean?
Well, players going to the booth.
Yeah, that's not that abnormal.
Players going to broadcasting isn't, like, groundbreaking. Players going right to the booth, a little bit, because, I mean, who else can you think of who kind of went straight from – now, certainly Tony Romo's probably the highest profile player in recent memory who's done it. I know Daryl Johnston's done it. Troy Aikman, he's done it. A lot of guys have done it, but few, I think, went straight from one right into the other into a marquee spot.
Right.
I wonder if this is – I wonder if networks like Fox, ESPN, CBS, NBC, if they're going to – well, NBC probably won't. But if the other groups are probably chasing the next Tony Romo.
I'd believe that. I mean, because he has been successful. People have liked him. He's been popular. He's been different than others. And you know, what's good is he has his own unique way of doing it and explaining things and certainly calling plays ahead of time is pretty amazing. His knack for being accurate on it. I mean – I think a lot of other people could try it, but he is right more times than he's not.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I can't even remember a time he's really was wrong on those things.
And Nance was so good there at the start. It's like, how did you know that? Like, how did you know that was coming? And Tony Romo was like, yeah, I've been a quarterback
over
for 14 years. I've seen this.
Yeah,
I've seen this. I know what they're doing. We're going to talk some more NFL at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. We'll look back at week 10 of the NFL season. Give our winners and losers. And then we'll take a look at a loaded week 11 schedule. We got all that. But, Jay Ross, the third round of college football playoff rankings are coming out tonight. They are going to be drastically different. We'll touch on that next. Winners and losers of week 10 of the NFL season. And we'll touch on the Sacramento Kings loss coming up at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. We'll also look ahead to the week 11 schedule. And there's a new trend going on in the fighting world, and it is quite annoying and obnoxious. We'll explain all of that when our third and final hour kicks off in just about 12 minutes. The third round of college football playoff rankings are coming out tonight. There's going to be some big changes, Jay Ross. We know some of what the tendencies we've gotten an idea over the first couple of weeks of what some of the committee's tendencies are. We know at least right now that they value head-to-head meetings. We know that Auburn has lost 2, Georgia has lost 1, but Auburn clobbered Georgia. So where is all of this going to rank in? We had Miami beat Notre Dame. We had Oklahoma beat TCU. When we get the college football playoff rankings, I think you were perfect last week. You had the top 6 or 7 even nailed. I think this is going to be a little bit more difficult. Who do you have?
Yeah,
actually, let's go 10 through 5 before we get to the playoff
spots. Okay, because I did 10 to 1. All right.
Okay, that's what I did. I you're not going to like who I have at number 10.
Okay, and I debated on them, so I know who you have.
I think they're going to do this for an optic purpose. It puts a Pac-12 team in there.
Okay.
I think they're right on the cusp.
I'm okay with UCLA being a 10.
And it's the Trojans.
It's
USC. Ugh. I'm sorry.
That's where your answer
is
incorrect. I have the answer key, and that is incorrect.
I have UCLA ranked a little bit lower than that.
11.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can see it, actually. I can see it.
Go with 11. We'll pretend like there's not another number in
there. I didn't put him there, but not because I
because you're
want
a spiteful
them to be
turd.
2000. But I could honestly see him at 10. I really could. I put OK State there.
I just think from an optic purpose.
Yeah,
like,
it looks good.
Yeah, look.
Hey, Pac-12, we're thinking of you.
Yeah,
we're
exactly.
Really not, but we are.
It's a lollipop.
I could see it.
It's a lollipop after the dentist. That's what it is. Okay, so you went OK State.
Yeah.
9.
Notre Dame.
Me too.
Yeah.
I thought that. Okay, so this is where I really had struggles was 8 and up.
Yeah. Well, I kind of followed that theory of what they seem to be liking this year is if you beat somebody, you know, Georgia beat Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I have Georgia 8.
So give me, you had Georgia, me too.
Yeah.
Okay. That's interesting because I really struggled with who should be 8 and who should be 7. So who did you go with 7? Did you go Ohio State?
I did.
That's what I did.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was going to put Auburn there.
This is
going to
be the least interesting thing. It's just Jason and I sitting here agreeing with each other.
I would have put Auburn there, but I thought, you know what? I feel like they want to push an SEC. So
did you go Auburn at 6, Wisconsin at 5?
Sure did.
Yep, that's what I did. Yep.
Are we going to be 4 through 1 the same?
I have no idea. Oklahoma?
4. Yeah.
Clemson?
Yep.
Miami?
Yep.
Alabama?
UCLA. I have UCLA 1. Yeah, that's it. That's how we do it. We're the committee.
This show couldn't suck anymore.
How long was your meeting for the committee? Right. Oh, it lasted about 30 seconds. We have our 10. Here we go.
We are maybe we should start sharing these. We don't share
no,
them.
This is good. Honest,
we don't share them because it's like.
Hey, we differed on 10.
We could have like legitimate like debate on the air, and we don't want to have the debate before the show starts. No, just Jason and I.
Maybe give me your opinions. I'll middle manage it and say like, hey, Jason, you got to change something up here. I won't tell you what, but you just got to change something.
Well, I was curious why you put Miami 2. I mean, I did 2.
Yeah, no, because they beat Notre Dame, who was 3.
But they were out, so you put them to 2. I mean, I did the same.
They were 7.
Yeah.
So I mean,
out of the 4.
But, okay, but we're removing Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
We're removing TCU, so you're removing 2 teams right there. All we're really talking about is they jumped Oklahoma. I think what we're really talking about here is Oklahoma's win over TCU isn't valued.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really what it
anymore?
Boils down to. No, I think because people are looking at like the committee, like we put TCU there kind of knowing they were going to lose at some point. Now, they'll never say that.
Yeah.
That's not going to be the conversation that Reese Davis has with the committee chairman tonight. But I do think that the committee cares about optics. And it was like, no, TCU is doing good. We're going to put them up there. But it wasn't enough to vault Oklahoma up to number 2. They have that loss. Miami has no loss. They beat Notre Dame, who I think
handily.
Yeah, and I think the only there's a number of things to watch. How bad does the committee want Notre Dame in? Because where Notre Dame lands in this conversation when it comes to Auburn, Ohio State, and Georgia is going to tell you how bad they want them in.
Yeah, I just don't see how now. I mean, what I think can be an advantage is that they don't have a tournament or a conference championship, but in this case, it's going to hurt them.
It's going to hurt, yes.
Because I think they have
they don't have that
Navy
extra quality
and Stanford
win.
Left. Mm-hmm. So those are okay wins if you get them, but it's not going to be enough. Like, I think they had their path set. They had to beat Miami and Stanford at the end.
Yep.
And the only reason I actually put Clemson, Miami, the 2-3, because I just feel like that they're going to play each other. And they like those, it's 2 versus 3, and one will decide itself. But I didn't know if Oklahoma should be 4 or 3. Or
so this is just where it gets so. Clemson and Miami are going to play each other. Clemson already has a loss.
Mm-hmm.
Miami doesn't.
Right.
What if Clemson wins by 1?
That's the same thing I think about Alabama. Like, what happens to Alabama? Now, Alabama can only lose in their conference championship, because
right.
if they lose to Auburn by 1 and then aren't in their own conference championship, then they might be out.
They don't have that win to get themselves back in, which is
but
what
they'll
need.
They've been like the favorite, the preseason number 1, seemingly until this last week, untouchable.
Bama gets through Auburn, and I'm not so sure that they will, but if Bama gets through Auburn, they're in. Win or lose the SEC championship, they're in.
Yes. What if the other scenario happens, and then Georgia somehow regroups and beats Auburn in the championship game? That's messy.
That puts
Georgia still with just 1 loss
in. That puts Georgia in.
But we're crushing them from 1 to 8. You
yeah,
and
I thought. Now again, that's another
but
thing
they got
to watch.
Clobbered.
Will Georgia be ranked above Ohio State? You
and
can't.
Maybe they should be.
Yeah. Will Georgia be ranked above Ohio State? And how much does the committee hate Wisconsin's schedule?
Right. Yeah.
I think that those are all like real conversations that have been had with that group.
And because I'm ultimately wanting more, I want eight teams in. I mean, I think that cleans it better. It makes it a cleaner decision. Five conference winners of the Power Five. I'm kind of secretly rooting for Wisconsin to go undefeated and be left out because that is a huge conference that they have really had respect for.
There's no way.
I don't know how it would happen.
I don't think that could happen now. It depends on where they're – if they're at five, there's no way it could happen because if
– If they're at five, you're
if
right.
If they're at five, there's because then they would end up beating Ohio State. Or, I mean, I guess Ohio State could lose to Michigan.
Yeah.
I mean, if Ohio State – that would put Michigan in.
No, Michigan's not even going to be in the top ten.
Oh, you no, mean that would the, put Michigan in the Big Ten championship.
Yeah,
but what the point in that is it devalues Wisconsin winning the Big Ten championship right. if they're playing with Wisconsin and not Ohio State.
Yeah.
Wisconsin needs Ohio State to win because then you have two top ten right. Teams playing each other. All of this will get sorted out. At least some of it will yeah. tonight. This I know some people. This drives some people crazy. I love this.
Yeah,
I love these conversations. I love to get an eye on what the committee is thinking, and I love to follow this on a week-to-week basis. It makes it a whole lot more fun. We'll touch on the Kings and their loss last night to the Washington Wizards, what they got coming up, plus winners and losers of Week 10 in the NFL season coming up next.